Shona Madden is a solicitor with Madden Law in the Bryanstown Centre on the Drogheda South Side, and she's been involved in buying houses for over a decade. And in fact, she specialises in the purchase of a home for first-time buyers. And she joins me on the line to have a chat about conveyancing. Hello, Shona.
Hi, Jerry.
Nice to talk to you on the show this afternoon. Can I begin by asking you this? Somebody has their eye on a house and they put a bid on it, like a new home. They go, let's talk about a new home for a start. They go to buy it. How soon should they approach you? Should the solicitor be involved?
Generally, the solicitor really needs to get involved from the point in time in which their sale agreed. So by sale agreed, I mean that all the details have been agreed and they've actually given the deposit into the estate agent. Generally, that would be when the solicitor needs to get involved. Now, there might be an exception, like it would be quite common nowadays for a tenant who's actually occupying a property to buy that house directly from the landlord. And in those situations, there won't be an estate agent to agree the details and take the deposit. So we would start the process. We would be involved earlier in those situations. But I would say overwhelmingly, we'll get involved from when the estate agent has taken the deposit, because then our details, the details for the seller and the solicitor details for the buyer, are given to the estate agent, so he or she can formalise the agreement then and get the ball rolling on the legal part of the house purchase.
Is there a difference between a first-time buyer buying a new build or an existing house?
Oh, absolutely, definitely. I suppose, really, it's a completely different contract that will come into us based on whether or not it's a second-hand house that's being purchased or a new build. So like some of the common, some of the big differences between that would be the contract for a second-hand house is not going to give any warranties or representations in relation to the condition of the property. But obviously, if you're buying a new build, you're going to get those warranties from the builder. Another big difference in that situation is when the house is going to be ready, like for occupation. So if it's a second-hand house, there'd be a few factors at play to determine, you know, when that first-time buyer is going to get the keys. So generally we would say, because that would be actually one of the first questions, the most common question we would get from a buyer in relation to a second-hand house is, when can we get the keys? Obviously they're very excited. That's what ultimately they want to achieve. So I would always say to a first-time buyer of a second-hand house, you would expect to get the keys approximately 8 weeks from the date upon which you go sale agreed. So from the date you go and you hand your deposit over to the estate agent, you would anticipate you would get keys approximately 8 weeks later. Now, before COVID, I probably would have said a bit sooner, but, you know, there's a few kind of delays now built in the process.
And the new home, just on the new home front, obviously then this home is, let's say, under construction. You get a date then, I take it, from the builder when completion will happen, and that determines then how long that period is from deposit on till you're in. Can that be longer than a second-hand house in general terms?
Absolutely. Now, with a new house, it could vary, because a person could put down their deposit at any different stage. Like some of the deposits are being put down now again at plans, like there's not even blocks in the ground that people are putting a deposit in. But also the people are putting down deposits when it's a new build, but it is in fact completed. But regardless of that situation, the legal contract that we get is in fact the same. And that's something I always explain to first-time buyers, because that contract itself will not have a completion date for a new house, for a newly built house. So even though the developer absolutely, or the selling agent, will give the buyer a date as to, an approximate date as to when it's going to be ready, the contract that comes in will never have a date. And it's the same for every new build. So first-time buyers should be aware of that, because there's no date for the completion of the new build house, but there's a mechanism in the contract to trigger the completion for the purchaser when they will get their keys.
Can I ask you this? When you put a deposit down and it goes sale agreed, or your offer is accepted, or whatever, especially in the case of a second-hand house, at that stage I take it that the purchasers have loan approval. That is given.
Yeah, well, generally, I would say they definitely have mortgage approval in principle. But after they go with sale agreed, their bank then has to just formalise that agreement for that particular property. So that would generally take approximately 2 weeks. So 2 weeks after the purchaser goes sale agreed, they will get a full loan offer for the bank's approval for them to draw down the funds for this property they have agreed. And that generally, that time frame generally works quite well, because 2 weeks after the sale agreed point is reached, the seller's solicitor will send the contracts to us. So in and around the same time, we'll also get the full loan offer. So approximately 2 weeks after it's sale agreed, we generally have all the paperwork to really get things going on the legal side of things for the buyer.
Mm. And you know, be it a new house or a second hand, you always have to have it surveyed, snagged in the context of a new home, but certainly a survey when you're buying second hand of that. Is that the role of you, the solicitor, to engage that person on behalf of your clients?
Generally not to engage the person, but generally that would be the best advice a solicitor will give to a buyer. For a second-hand property, it would be to get a full structural survey of the property before a contract is signed. And generally, the earlier that can be done, the better. Because a buyer will have put down an offer and possibly gone sale agreed for a particular property by visually inspecting it only. So it's really only when the surveyor goes out they really understand the condition of the property. And then you mentioned as well, you're correct, that if the property is snagged for a new build, generally we can recommend somebody, but I wouldn't feel it's our role to engage that person. But it would be important that they have a fully qualified, competent person to give a full snag report, because that will kind of dictate what's going to be done before the full contract price is paid for the house.
The whole there's questions coming here. I'll throw this one at you while I think of it, because it's a good one. Will you ask Shona, Jerry, what's the difference between buying a property at auction as against buying a property by private treaty? Is there a significant difference there? Well, I'll just add to that. Are you more at risk buying, you know, at an auction?
Absolutely, and that's the massive difference. The title on offer, and you'll be signing there and then at the auction, is generally quite limited. And if we're talking about an online auction, it will be severely restricted and limited. So you will be getting little or no warranties or representations in relation to anything at an online auction. And the contract for sale generally is a balance of rights between the buyer and the seller. But an online auction, all the warranties or representations that are provided by a vendor, generally by private treaty, will all be deleted. So you are significantly at risk for not doing your due diligence before you sign. Like, I wouldn't advise not to buy at an auction, and there is very good value for the online auctions, and also the process is quicker. But you have to put the time and you have to do the investigation for both the structural survey and the legal documents, which would be available online or through the estate agent before the auction, but there's no opportunity for any amendments to the contract afterwards, and there's no opportunity to do the investigations after you sign that contract at an auction.
You're talking about a search there that's done, right? So I know when you're engaged and you're buying a second-hand property, this search happens and it checks out everything about the property, the lands associated with it. That search is, when coming back to an auction there, how does that work?
Well, you can do them all before the auction.
Is that what you're saying, what you said a moment ago there? Yeah.
Yeah. So either it's online, or even if there's an auction in a hotel, the traditional style, all of the contract documents are available. So you can have the necessary information available to do the necessary searches, but they must be done beforehand. And also, you would be entitled to get the keys and send in your surveyor beforehand. So you just have to do that. And obviously, you know, from time to time, people don't do that. And that's the real risk. Because if something, there's no point in sending the surveyor in after you have signed the contract, because you're just on notice of something, but you're still stuck having bound yourself into a contract to buy it.
So let me ask you this. Is it important then to engage a solicitor? You know, if you're going to an auction, is it good to have a solicitor on your side to do some of that stuff for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely. You would need all the legal documents reviewed beforehand.
Okay. Okay, that's an important point to make. Here's another thing. You know when young people buy a house, a will is the furthest thing from their minds. And I know you're going to be talking about wills to us in a couple of weeks' time. Should a will be part and parcel of a house purchase for a young couple?
For a couple in itself, there wouldn't be a huge requirement, because more often than not now at the moment, if a couple are buying, they're buying jointly and they're borrowing jointly. So property that's held jointly will actually fall outside the scope of a will. So if there is property held in the joint names of a couple, on the death of one of those, should anything happen one of those, the law will automatically vest that other 50% into the surviving registered owner. So a will actually is not of any relevance. But if a person is buying a property in their sole name, it would be essential that they would draft a will at that point in time.
The mortgage deed, who holds that? Is that held by the bank or financial institution that offer you the mortgage?
The mortgage deed itself is registered in the land registry, and thereafter it's put with all the title documents. So it's put with the contract for sale, all the planning documents, and all the declarations of the searches are all put up in together in a bundle, and they're all given to the lender. They're given to the bank for safekeeping, for their security, after the buyer gets their keys. The solicitor will do all that and send everything to the bank.
And then if you win the lottery, let's say your six numbers come up next Saturday night and you can clear that mortgage, where do those documents and the deeds go then? Is it into the care of you, the solicitor, on behalf of the owner now?
It's really up to the purchaser what they want to do. The bank may still hold them, even after the mortgage is paid, although less and less banks are doing that. They can instruct a solicitor to hold them, but it's not like it was years ago in terms of the fact that, you know, prior to 2008, there was a land cert, and yeah, it was irreplaceable, and if that was lost, you were really goosed. But it's not really to the same extent now, because of the land registry system has gone really digital, and the original deed of transfer is actually lodged with them, and they only ever issue you with a certified copy folio. The worst case scenario, if something happened, your deed, let's say you did choose to hold them at home, it wouldn't exactly be the end of the world. They are very replaceable. Mm. So I feel because of that, possibly more and more people are keeping them at home, and probably less with the bank when they're in the fortunate situation that they don't have a mortgage, but less and less with solicitors.
Okay. Okay, just before we finish, this is a quite interesting question I want you to take from me. In the current climate with COVID and everything, it's a different world. Let's say somebody has put a deposit on a house and then the offer of a mortgage has been withdrawn. Have you come across this? Is the deposit refundable?
It depends. We would have definitely seen this during the financial crisis. Things that we have learned, obviously, from our mistakes, and the real learning and the recommendation from the Law Society is for all purchasers that there is a loan conditionality clause now negotiated into all house purchases. So when we get a contract in, whether it's a new build or a second-hand house, we try and we would insist upon a loan conditionality clause going in, which means that in the event that a buyer's mortgage is withdrawn by the bank through no fault of their own, that there is a get out, that they get to exit the contract. And if that does occur, they do get their full deposit back, both the booking deposit that they would have given to the estate agent and also the balance of the 10% they would have paid at contract signing stage. It will completely be refunded to them, and they will get to walk away from the contract if that loan conditionality clause is in the contract.
Mm. Important to have it, has to be said.
Absolutely.
Yeah, vital. It really is. Shona, you've been great. We'll be talking to you again next week. And I just want to remind listeners that you are a specialist for first-time buyers, and you can be contacted on 041-980-3336. That's 041-980-3336. maddenlaw.ie or shona@maddenlaw.ie is the email. Thank you very much indeed.
Bye, Jerry.
Take care. That's Shona Madden there from Madden Law. And she'll be back on Late Lunch next week covering another topic with us.